Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets snapped a five-game losing streak last night. Adam Fantilli scored the game winner in overtime to beat the Anaheim Ducks 4-3 in Nationwide. Here's how it sounded on The Fan.
Fantilli is back out there. Adam up the right wing side, carries into the Ducks end. Fantilli takes a shot, and he scores! And I got two words for you: game over!
Zach Werenski, playing in his 600th NHL game, scored two goals and had an assist in the win. The Jackets back on home ice hosting the Minnesota Wild tomorrow at 7. Four-star athlete Legend Bay will be a Buckeye after all. He's been released from his scholarship agreement with Tennessee and is expected to enroll at Ohio State in January after he turns 18. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next three. Bake is back from his holiday. Isaiah here. Isaiah, have you ever been on this with us before? I'm trying to remember.
I haven't done this one yet, so this will be the first time for everybody.
Welcome, and you're in the gorgeous, the cream brown starter. That was a homage special a couple of years ago. Is that where you picked that one up?
It is. I asked my girlfriend for it for like three consecutive Christmases, and it was almost always sold out. So one year she surprised me with it, and that was probably one of my favorite Christmas gifts in probably the past 5 years.
That's a great. I have that one. That's a great one. So welcome in, buddy. We're loaded up. We'll do a little higher, lower at 10 o'clock. Jake Trotter going to join us at 10:30. It is a Hey Guys First Friday. Get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas. We will do that at 11 o'clock. The winner there gets the gift card and the tour from our great friends at High Bank. And then at 11:30, Ben Baby on the Bengals as a little bit of unrest down in Cincinnati. Of course, you're officially endorsed because it is a First Friday. We've got a couple of big First Fridays coming up here consecutively with the way that the calendar worked out this year. So last night, I was doing my afternoon duties, and I know that my wife is relatively aware of what time that I'm on air, and relatively, not totally aware, but relatively. And she started calling my cell phone like nonstop. Just started calling my phone nonstop while I was on air. And I said, I'm like, okay, well, there must be some sort of an emergency. There must be something. So I get to a break and I pick up the phone, and she is screaming. It appears to be frantic, in, I would say, close to tears, certainly chaotic. And in your head, you're just thinking to yourself, I can hardly even make out what she's saying. And in my head, I'm thinking, my God, are the kids okay? Are you okay? Do we have an emergency at the house? And I finally make out what she's saying. It's a mouse. It's a mouse. Okay. So I'm like, okay, calm down. What do you mean it's a mouse? There's a mouse in the house. There's a mouse in the house. Okay, this happens. Homes, it's cold. They go to warmth. They're trying to find things. We've got the Orkin. It's all going to be fine. No, it's worse. It's worse. It's worse. Buddy killed it. Buddy killed the mouse. I go, what? She goes, so I get her to, I'm trying to get her to calm down. I go, put Parker on the phone. Put Beamsy on the phone. So now Beamsy's, he's not in a good space at all, because he's, you know, a little terrified of a lot of things, and now we have a dead mouse. So what we end up getting Bootsy with a shovel. My wife gets back on the phone. It's a dead mouse. There's blood everywhere. Buddy's eating it. I said, if Buddy was eating the dog, he'd already be eaten. Have you seen him eat his food? He just swallows it whole. He doesn't even chew. Like, if he wanted to eat the thing, he would have, it'd already be eaten. That ain't it. That's not what's going on here. He thinks it's a toy. Like, it's his little buddy here. And he probably got a little overzealous because it's an 85-pound golden retriever and it's a little mouse. So, the panic continues. And at one point she goes, I'm worried about Buddy. Is he a murder dog? No, no, he's not a murder dog. And anyway, he's not a murder dog. He's just a golden retriever. He probably found it outside and he tracked it down. So I get home. She is now NBC had a basketball game at 6. I get home and my wife, to her credit, I love her to death. She is always ready to go. Like if she's going out of the house, she's good to go. Like you're never going to see her sloppy, nothing. I get home. She is in a state of disrepair, the likes of which I've never seen. You would have thought that like Dexter was happening in our basement. Like it was that type of chaos that was happening down there. She's got rubber gloves. She's got carpet cleaners. She's trying to does Buddy have rabies? I don't think he's got rabies. I think it's probably fine. He'll be fine. So fast forward to this morning. Now Buddy does have, this is two murders on his plate now. He's got two murders because he got, now they don't know about this part and they don't even realize they do a 3-hour show in the morning, so she'll never hear this. They don't realize that he got the bunny this summer. Remember he got the little rabbit bake this summer where he got him? So he's a little bit of a hunter and a little bit of, he likes the chase a little bit as best I can tell, and he must be relatively decent at it. My hunch is what happened here is he found a nest somewhere outside. And because I've noticed that what his act now at night is that he is scamming me with bathrooms. He comes up on the couch and he puts his head right on like the edge of the couch right where I'm sitting or my chair. He'll put his head there and that means I got to go to the bathroom, Dad. So I take him out when he does that. Like that's his sign. Well, I've been noticing in the last week or so, he's got to go to the bathroom like every 15 minutes. And I'm like, well, this isn't right. And so then I've been catching him. And he's out there on the hunt at night and he's digging things up through the snow. So I'm like, oh, he's scamming. So that's his nightly routine now. He goes out, he actually gets to go to the bathroom and then he goes on the hunt. So the aggressiveness is there. It was a scene, man. It was a scene. And it was the latest example of how incredibly different her and I grew up, because there wasn't a week that would go by on the Ponderosa where something wasn't dead. I mean, cats, wild animals. I mean, it just was birds. There was always something dead. I mean, it was like she's just not used to carnage of that. So murder dog though was my favorite. The golden retriever's a murder dog.
So when I'm hearing you talk about that, somewhere along the line, nature versus nurture lodge popped into my head, and nature always wins. The second thing I'm thinking of is has your wife never had an outdoor cat? Because they will literally, if you have a cat that's outdoors, they will literally bring to your front porch dead mice or dead birds just to like show you. They want you to be proud of them that they went out and hunt and caught this.
We had where I grew up, we had barn cats. Mm-hmm. And they were like SEAL Team 6.
Yes.
Like they would take out anything in their path silently, swiftly. You'd never even know they were there. Birds, mice predominantly in the barn, they would run, wreak havoc on all of that stuff. Cats are like outdoor cats, barn cats are elite hunters.
I mean, that's what they're born to do. That's in their nature. Like their nature is not to be inside and having everything fed to them. They're hunters.
They're hunters, man. Yeah, they are pretty dang good. So today we've got Orkin coming over. She goes, should I call Orkin for the mouse nest outside? I go, you can't send Orkin into the woods. Like they do the house. They're not, They're not going into the woods. I mean, where does it end? Like, how many of the woods do we go through to try to eradicate the mouse?
That coyote that she heard the one night that she was going crazy about, like, what does she think that thing's eating? Because it's not eating Buddy Garrity. It doesn't wants no part of Buddy Garrity. No. Or Murder Dog, I mean. They don't want that smoke.
No, they don't want that. They are always worried about the kids are worried about that too. They're worried about like a hawk or something coming for Buddy. I'm like, he's 85 pounds. He's the biggest predator he's the apex predator. There's nothing out there. There's no coyote that's ever gonna rise up on him.
King of the jungle.
That's right. Now we go out west, and now it's a little different. But around here, what's the apex predator in Ohio? Is it
that's
like a
great?
Are there black bears anywhere? Well,
there are more.
They're not really.
There more and more bears are being sighted in Ohio.
Yeah,
I believe they saw one out in Pataskala not long ago.
Okay. Yeah, maybe, but they're not really.
They saw a bobcat recently, but those are small. They're not taking on a coyote.
No way. It might even be like a coyote might be the most.
Mm-hmm.
They're all scavengers. I mean, we're not dealing with mountain lions. There's no grizzly bears.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing apex out there. Anyway, so that was my Tuesday night.
Murder Dog, apex predator in Ohio.
Yeah. I got my eyes on him right now. He's really sniffing around looking for stuff out there, trying to see what's next on his list.
Just wants to bring you something for you to be proud of.
Oh, yeah. Look what I did, Dad. That's what I was telling him. Like, he's showing you that. Here's the last point I'll make on this. There's no question he brought it from outside. That means that one of my children opened the door to bring him back in the house and didn't notice that he had a dead mouse in his mouth. So if you want to think about how easily distracted children are, like, I'm sure they had an Xbox controller in their hand,
paying attention,
sucking down a bag of chips or something, not even paying attention. Meantime, you let a dead mouse in. All you had to do is look, and all you had to do is say to Buddy Garrity, just drop it, and he drops. That's it. He would have dropped it outside, and then problem solved. But they just let him in, dead mouse in the mouth. That's a Tuesday. It's a long December, kids. A long wait for this Buckeye football team to get back on the field. But they did get some pretty good news in terms of the roster. We'll get to that coming up next. We're off and running on a First Friday Bishop and Friends right here on the
field. A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but oof, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel.
Brought in government.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
More sunshine building in throughout the day, and it'll be warmer and breezy with highs getting into the low 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy with our overnight lows in the 20s, and then for Thursday, we will see daytime highs getting into the low 50s with breezy winds. Best chances of rain will be later in the day and going into the overnight hours. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you can earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. Here at Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick from more than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trioria home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building. Cider Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026. 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in all of harness racing. It's coming right here to town. So come, experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at Eldorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details on that. Our listeners are pretty funny. Some very funny stuff on the Buddy Garrity. Travis, this one honestly made me laugh out loud. Travis on social, I think it's time to get Buddy a teardrop tattoo under his eye. That's very well
put. Gangster. Well,
that's very good. Wolfman Matt, the apex predator of Ohio or sports moms, they're frightening. Fact. You sports moms and dads are terrifying humans. And many times delusional. Tyler, new nickname for Buddy, not MD, Buddy/MD. That's not bad either, as in murder dog. Yeah, it was a Tuesday. We'll see. I don't think he's a killer. I think it's all going to be fine. This is a, when you guys start to wrap your head around that a year ago at this time, we were preparing for Tennessee. And this was something I was curious about even last year in the first year of the 12-team playoff. When you're in it, it feels like the world revolves around the college football playoff. That's how it felt last year. We were inching closer to it day by day, getting closer, talking to folks down in Knoxville. What did you expect? What do we think the game? You're breaking down the game. Like you're in the middle of this sports silo that feels like everybody that is around you, that's all they're talking about. When you're not in it, it kind of happens in a closet. I don't know if you guys have paid attention this week on social, on just sports talk around the country, national, whatever. You have to seek this stuff out. It's not something that's prominent. And you play a game in 2 days. You got Alabama, Oklahoma on Friday. And then, of course, the full slate of games on Saturday. And it feels like it's not even getting the attention that a normal college football weekend is getting nationally. Have you noticed this?
I feel like that's because there's two games where nobody really cares about. With James Madison and Tulane.
Could be.
We've just already moved Mississippi and Oregon on in the bracket. They're going to blow those teams out. It's a 17.5 point spread in the one. It's 21 point spread in the other. And I think we've just already moved those two on. I also think there's probably a lot of people nationally that don't believe Alabama or Oklahoma is going to win this thing. Now, yeah. I think they're good teams and they're obviously brands, but I don't think anybody thinks that either of those teams are
threats.
Going to win. Yeah, they're not threats in this thing. And I'm not sure people think Texas A&M or Miami are threats either. Last year, if you remember, because of the way the seeding was, you had Ohio State there as the 8th seed mm-hmm. playing in that yeah. first round. And the Tennessee matchup, that had a lot of juice with those two. And a lot of people thought that whoever won that game could move on in this thing. You also had Penn State sitting there and Notre Dame sitting there. Mm-hmm. Who people thought were really good teams that could possibly do something. So I think whereas we got this right for the tournament with the seeding aspects, last year those byes probably gave the first round a little more juice.
So it was Ohio State, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
It was Texas, Clemson, Indiana, Notre Dame, and SMU, Penn State.
Correct. That's correct.
That's interesting. There's no question that helped, Bake, that you're talking 8 brands versus 6.
Mm-hmm. And Ohio State, there's no doubt Ohio State, Notre Dame, two of the biggest brands in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, and Penn State is in the top is a top 10, and honestly, the other Texas and Clemson was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a part of it. That could have been a part of it, but I'm going to give you, I think that's a very good point out of you. I think there's a lot of credit that goes there. I do think that there is a little bit, though, of it's not happening in our town.
1,000%.
Yeah, I think there's that part of it too, Isaiah, when you think about that part of it.
Yeah, no one's making plans right now for New Year's Eve other than what their New Year's Eve plans are. Usually it's the Buckeyes game, and what are you going to do for the Buckeyes game? And the other thing, too, I feel like, especially now with the college football playoff, it's minimized, like, kind of the postseason for college football so much. Before, it was the bowl games, there was a million of them, and the bowl games mattered, where now, if you're not in the playoff, do a lot of these fan bases care about the bowl games as much as it feel like college football is already over for those teams because you've got players opting out? And so I feel like that kind of kills some of the interest too. And if you think about last year, because of how they had it set up with the byes for the conference champions, it did push some of the better teams down. Like Penn State got pushed down because Boise State got pushed up.
Right.
And so that also gave a little bit more intrigue for the first round.
Yeah, it's a solid point on the on that part of it. And if you're curious about the bowls, like I don't know if you saw the crowd for the bowl game. They had a bowl game Saturday in Los Angeles. It was a decent game. It was Washington and Boise State. There were 18 people there. There were 18 people there. And this has been happening in bowls. But the one thing you have to remember with the bowls is we didn't even realize it at the time, but they were probably the first example of concrete proof that these are television shows. That's really what it is. It is, here is a football game for you to watch that is brought to you by fill in the blank sponsor that is paying a great deal of money to the bowl to make sure that it has that mention over and over and over again. That's how you end up with people, you know, drenching people in mayonnaise or Cheez-Its or whatever the heck else it is. I can't even tell you, I don't even know what would be the bowls that you'd want to go to at this point. I think you'd want to go to some place that's warm. And that part does suck. Obviously there's chaos everywhere, but one of the big things that I used to look forward to in covering teams that played in bowls and not even teams that played national championships was this notion of a bowl trip. And there was big value in that of going to someplace warm, going to someplace cool, getting to eat like kings and getting bags of swag and all of that stuff and spending your what is otherwise a cold December into January in someplace warm and someplace fun. And I do think that that is largely gone. Notre Dame took a lot of heat from the fact that they basically took their ball and went home with the bowl game. But if you read Pete Sampson, who we, great friend of the program, have him on all the time, anytime we talk Notre Dame, if you read the piece that he wrote for The Athletic, I don't know if they could have fielded a team to play in it because they had upwards of 25 guys, 30 guys who were saying, yeah, we're good. We're not going to go play whomever they were going to go play in a bowl game. And then what bowl game would that even have been? What's left of the Citrus Bowl or what's left of the Outback Bowl? The rest of them are all tied into the college football playoff now. So it does speak to this goes back to something I just think is such a no-brainer. There is a gap right now that college football could fill. They should have been playing games last weekend.
Yes.
They should have been playing games the week before. There were two. This should be right now. We should be doing the national quarterfinals now. Ohio State should be playing this weekend against the winner of Texas A&M and Miami. If you want to do it in a bowl game, you can. If you want to go play somewhere warm, fine. But it should have been right now. And then next weekend off, and then the national semifinals, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and then you crown that national champion on January 8th, 9th, whatever that day is, have a conversation with the NFL about giving up one Saturday night so that you can play it on a Saturday night the way the rest of your sport is. Now you're on to something. But instead, you have all this momentum coming out of the rivalry weekend, conference championship weekend to a lesser degree. You have the Heisman and Army Navy last week. By the way, $8 billion for Army Navy. That's an incredible number for them. And now you have kind of this void where if you just move all of that stuff back, or I guess up, however you want to phrase it or think about it in your mind's eye, now all of a sudden you just keep that momentum going and you're able to get things done. Instead, Ohio State's twiddling their thumbs until New Year's Eve.
And Bo, to your point about the bowl games, we've had three already.
Have we really?
We've had three bowls already, and we've got two more today. And I don't know if anybody know they happened.
I don't. I do this for a living. What are they? What's coming? What do we got today?
So today we have the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. That's down at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. Old Dominion taking on South Florida. And we have the 68 Ventures Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, Louisiana versus Delaware.
My God. Is Hartline going to be in, you said South Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's coaching.
It's interesting. I would have to find that out. That's very interesting.
I'm very curious the next time somebody at Ohio State talks about how he's trying to manage that. Both of them. I just don't know how you could. Which brings us to the Buckeyes. How are they managing this roster? How are they making sure that when it comes to portaling, they have what they need? Because that's going to open in a couple of weeks. It's mass chaos across the board. But they did get a bit of good news, or so it seems. We'll get to that story in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Chip?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. I was listening to Berman Austin, and one of the things that, I mean, you're worried about trying to track down a national championship, and you're worried about, you know, Julian was at the Heisman. There's all these things going on. But the other thing that is got to be not in the back, but probably in the front of the top of mind for Ryan and certainly for Mark Pantone and everybody who's in charge of kind of putting all of that together is making sure that your roster for next year is ready to go. Now, a big part of being ready to go is the fact that they had a relatively large signing day class. So that will help, but there's going to be a ton of guys who move on to the next level. And in order to buttress that, keep this operation at the very highest level, you're going to have to get in the portal. And the portal is loaded already. I mean, the names that are going in there, the quarterback, we talked about this yesterday, Bake. I want to say, like, of the 20 kids who are at the Elite 11 in 2023, 13 of them have either already transferred or are going to transfer. Of the top 10 recruits in that class, all but one have either transferred or are in the portal already. And that's just a quarterback. But quarterback's going to go first, then everything else is going to open up after that. So if Ohio State is, and I don't know this, this isn't scores, this is just common sense. Like, if they're in the market for secondary help, or if they're in the market for offensive line help, if they're looking for a defensive end, if they're looking for, are they looking for a receiver to replace Carnell Tate? If they're looking for weapons there, all of that is going to have to be done as they're attempting to track down a national championship, because that portal opens in early January. And again, yes, one more time, calendar broken. So all of these things are happening simultaneously. And there's no way that you can do all of these things at an elite level. There's not enough time in the day to be able to track all of this stuff down. One of the things in signing day that was kind of an odd one was the story of Texas athlete legend Bay. So 4-star kid, lightning fast. He, as the story goes, and Berm knows this up and down, and I'll just give you the Reader's Digest. The intent was for him, or what he preferred to do, was to sign with Ohio State. His mother and older brother preferred for him to sign with Tennessee. And because he is not 18 years of age, he was apparently coerced into signing with Tennessee by family members because his mom refused to sign a letter of intent for him to go to Ohio State. And so he turns 18 relatively soon, and it seems as if this is going to come full circle, and inevitably he will be able to sign with Ohio State. This is the chaos of recruiting. This isn't an NIL thing, by the way. I dealt with this 25 years ago in Florida, where there were moms who wouldn't sign letters of intent. In those days, things took place underneath the table. Now everything's just on the table. But that, absolutely, I lived that 25 years ago. So I know I've seen this stuff before. I don't think this is a product of NIL or free transfer. But this is one of those things where that's a shot of adrenaline if all of a sudden this kid becomes a Buckeye too once he becomes 18. That would be a big shot in the arm for this Buckeye program.
Yeah, so he turns 18 a week from today, December 24th. Mm-hmm. And then they say his plan is to enroll in January here at Ohio State. He obviously can't sign now because the early signing period is over, which is so stupid. Who cares if there's a day where they can sign? Why can't they sign? It's just idiotic, yeah. like what we do. I hate giving him credit, but I saw this tweet from Adam King, and it was pretty good. Like, you go back to signing day, mm-hmm. and, oh my gosh, what's happening with Chris Henry Jr.? Are you going to lose yeah. Chris Henry Jr.? Oh, no, we're not going to get Legend Bay. Yeah. What's happening? Ohio State is, always will be, just fine. They're okay. Yeah. They're okay in all of this.
Yeah, but I do think, like, there's no way that all of the stuff that happened that week didn't contribute to the performance against Indiana. How could it not? You're trying to procure you're trying to get Chris Henry Jr. to sign on the line, which is dotted. You got this Legend Bay stuff you're dealing with. Meantime, your offensive coordinator's taking a job at South Florida. Like, how could you possibly be rowing in the same direction for Indiana? There's not enough time in a day to do all of this.
Which, by the way, Hartline is not coaching USF today. It is said it will be an interim staff that is coaching them in the bowl game. Yeah, it's, and Bo, you've been on this before anyone about this calendar in college football, and it's just too much, right? There's just too much happening. Even if Ryan, which he can't do, but even if Ryan's like, Pantone, you got this. Take care of these guys. Make sure you get them signed. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that because they're going to be playing for this man. So this man has to be there taking some of his time to reassure them on things. Let him know what his plan is at offensive coordinator and wide receiver coach and whatnot, especially for those two guys we're talking about, because Chris Henry, no doubt, is a wide receiver. One of the best in the country, if not the best. And Legend Bay is a guy who will probably play the wide receiver position 100%. A little bit. You know, he may play some wildcat quarterback. He may play some running back, too. But the dude is an uber athlete. So these are things that these guys probably needed to know. Now, Legend Bay, it doesn't sound like he was worried about any of it. Sound like he always wanted to be a Buckeye. His family just didn't want him to be here.
It speaks to you know, like the way that you just played that out with Pantone, too. If this was the National Football League, Mark could do all of that on his own because there are rules to play that there are rules in place. If it was the NFL and he was a general manager, which is what he is here, he would know his cap. He would know what he could offer. He would know what he's already allotted to everybody. He would know the offers that were out there from other teams and if he could match them. He didn't know any of that. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Yeah, and you think, too, like the NFL, and this is why they have everyone so encapsulated all year round, is because their calendar is so well done. Like, you have the mock drafts going out, then the draft in the spring, the combine. Like, it's all so spread out, where college football, everything is so jam-packed, where you would think, I mean, all they want to do is make money. You would think they would want you all year round just talking about college football. But because I feel like the early signing period is so wasted right before these Big Ten championship games, this should be a bigger story than it is. But because of the way the calendar is laid out, it doesn't really give the college football its flowers that you really have.
And there's, you know, the facade of academia is there. I mean, they act like that's a part of it, but they used to do signing day in February. It worked out fine. I think all those guys would have to do is give up early enrollees and then it would all be fine. Just put February back. We've been through it a million times. It's an easy fix. But it's utter chaos right now. And there's not enough time in the day to do all of these things. So you have to decide, what are my priorities? You have to sleep. You have to function. You have to have good brain capacity to be able to do the big picture things that you got to get done. So, I saw Kenny Dillingham talking about this as he's being questioned about the Michigan job, and he's trying to prepare Arizona State, and he's got his quarterbacks in the portal, and it's not tenable to keep doing this way. Go ahead, Big.
Could you imagine, Bo, if we have sometime in the next 2 or 3 years a scenario like we did last year where Tennessee is coming up to play Ohio State in a playoff game, and Legend Bay's mom and brother having to put on Ohio State scarlet and gray?
Oh my gosh.
To root on Legend playing Tennessee?
It seems like, I do feel for the kid because it seems like it's pretty chaotic.
Yes.
Home life situation. This is something that's been going on in recruiting only forever. And it is, you have to identify the right player. And I don't mean football player, the right player that has the most influence on the recruit. So sometimes it's a mom, sometimes it's a dad, sometimes it's an uncle. Sometimes it's somebody who's not even related. Like in the case of Terrell Pryor, it was somebody who wasn't even related, who Tress identified as this is a guy who's influential, and they were able to get that done. So that's something that's only been going on forever, and now it's just more chaotic than it's ever been. Jackets get a win, but they give up a lead again in the third, but the win will be the highlight of it. And the Buckeyes schedule next year will remain quite, quite strong. We'll get to both of those stories coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
Men, it's the holiday.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One bleach with my floor cleaner would take the stain out.
When my youngest ate the dog's medicine, that was a new one.
I was trying to protect my garden, but I accidentally sprayed myself with pesticide.
So I called 1-800-222-1222, the poison helpline.
A poison expert helped me figure out what to do next.
I was connected to someone who spoke Spanish.
They answered my questions.
It was free.
It was confidential.
It was real help in real time.
Keep the poison experts in your pocket. 1-800-222-1222.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story. But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app. TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere. The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Give the gift.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Steve Sarkisian yesterday, Texas head coach, saying that the Longhorns will still play Ohio State next year. Remember, he was when he was politicking for Texas to get into the college football playoff, one of the things he kept harping on is if we didn't play Ohio State, we'd be in. And he's right. The pushback for that was, well, if you didn't lose to Florida, you would have been in too. But you do lose some margin for error. But I'm glad sanity prevailed there. That those type of games have to remain special, and it is going to be something that you're going to have to navigate in the sport of how to deal with teams. You should get credit for playing a game like that. It should not be held against you. There should be some sort of metric that gives you credit for scheduling those type of games, especially when you consider that those games are oftentimes scheduled a decade in advance. And so you're rolling the dice on those teams being good. And when they are, you have to continue to play those games. The sport needs those games to continue to be played. Jackets last night, Bake, I was at Hoops, so I did not see this one. They've been struggling. 2 wins, I think, in their last 13. A lot of third period leads given up and losses starting to mount. And quite honestly, because they weren't getting points in these games, these weren't overtime losses, these were just regulation losses, you started to dig yourself a pretty big hole in the East and one that's going to be very difficult to get out of. I had Porty on yesterday and we talked about some of the Fantilli stuff, the Kent Johnson stuff. Both of those guys finally had nights. I mean, Adams had a lot of nights, but anytime Carlson's in town, there's a little bit of extra juice to that. I saw Kent Johnson with a couple assists as well. What did you make of the performance last night?
So I was watching it in the airport, then on a plane, and then I lost, as the third period came along, I lost the feed because I guess I was close enough to Columbus. ESPN Plus blocked me off finally. So I flipped it on The Fan and was listening to Bob McGilligan. And then as I was shuttling out of the airport and got back to my car, I turned the car on just as Adam Fantilli was scoring the overtime winner.
Oh, that's cool.
I know that this is pretty frustrating for a lot of Jackets fans right now, and I understand. And I think it's almost, and you're going to, Jackets fans will say, it's been the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. This is every year. We're always the youngest team, this or that, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I think we're seeing a change right now. And if you look at the ice time last night, it was Fantilli that led the team with the forwards, and Marchenko was second. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing a change here where this is becoming Adam Fantilli's team. And with that, with the young guys taking over, there are growing pains. And I know people don't want to hear that, but with these guys learning how to win games. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going through that. And I hope last night was a step in that direction. Zach Werenski, who played his 600th game last night in the NHL and had two goals. He looked like a man possessed.
He did.
And I mean, we're used to that with Zach the last couple of years, but he looked like a guy that was like, okay, enough of this. Let's get out of this losing streak. And Fantilli was a little bit the same way. Mm-hmm. And he's been playing well for a while now. And you heard Zach in the post game last night say, he's one of the few guys in the league that can beat goalies with his shot. He just needs to realize he can beat goalies with his shot.
Sure.
And he says once he realizes that, he's going to score a lot more goals. Well, this is a guy that scored 31 last year. Mm-hmm. And I believe in a whole calendar year here recently, I think it was like Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving or something like that, he had as many goals in the league as anyone, just about.
Yeah.
Like McKinnon, Bedard, McDavid, that was it that had more than him. So I know people don't like it, and they're tired of being patient, and they want to see results, but I do think this team is kind of turning a corner where, all right, let's give it to the young guys. It doesn't need to be Boone out there all the time. It doesn't need to be Charlie Coyle all the time out there taking the key faceoff, and I think it's something that we've talked about. These are the guys that are going to have to lead you to where you want to go.
Well, the other thing, I know you mentioned ice time. Chinnikov had, I mean, it's the most ice time he's had forever.
And he has slowly here the past couple of weeks started to play better and better. You've seen glimpses of him. And you mentioned KJ points in three straight now.
Yeah, Porty and I were talking about that yesterday. And you know, they want him to, you know, to carry the puck in. They want him to go vertical. They want him to get and dump the puck in and go battle. That's not necessarily what he is.
No.
And so I think this, I think I could say this about Blue Jackets fans, and you correct me where I'm wrong. I just think what, after how long this franchise has been here, and I was talking about this with T-Bone and Tyvus this morning, the entire time I've been in town, which is upwards of 20 years now, the goal for the Blue Jackets was chase the eight. That's it. We have never once looked at them and said, go win the East. Go win the division. It's never been said. Because the teams haven't been good enough. I think most Jackets fans would suffer through growing pains of ultra-talented youngsters with the idea that it will net you a team that can win the division in 2 years, a team that can contend in the East in three or four. I think you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most people would sign up with that. Even if it meant short-term struggle, if you believe that these kids are special, and most people do, if you believe they're special, I'll take the short-term struggle for the long-term game. If you believe, if you've identified these guys correctly and they're ready to go in 2 or 3 years to be like stars, sign me up.
And here's the thing, your struggle is battling for the eight right now, because that's what they're going to be doing this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk about whatever their last place in the Metro, but they're also like 7 points from being first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is so jammed up in the East. The Jackets are going to be there in this thing. And they just went through a 5-game losing streak. It's the ebbs and flows of a season. You're going to have a 4 or 5-game winning streak here soon. And that's going to shoot you right back up the standings towards the top. So your struggles right now are battling for a playoff spot. So I don't think it's like before where you're going to be in the running for the first pick of the draft. I don't think you're there right now with this roster, and I don't think you're going to be there for a while. There are a few things they need here or there, some tweaks they could make possibly, and maybe who knows who comes available at the trade deadline. I do think they need to be a little tougher to play against. I think when games get physical and they're drug into a fight by another team, I think that's when they play their best, when they get ramped up a little bit. And you've heard rumors out there about a guy who grew up here in Kiefer Sherwood who could be on the trading block in Vancouver, and the Jackets may be interested in that. He's a guy that would raise the compete level of this team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen a lot of really bad Jackets hockey, and I know this year is frustrating because there were some expectations. People didn't want to take a step back, but sometimes when you're relying on those younger players, and it's never happened in Columbus, when you're relying on those younger players to take the next step, you have to deal with that.
And sometimes progression is never, it's never linear in sports. And I feel like coming into the season, that was one thing that a lot of Jackets fans really struggled to deal with, especially early on, is when you are trying to transition to those younger guys, which, like you said, every year it feels like we have this young team that's up and coming. But if you don't fully give them the keys and push them out there a little bit, then they can't make the mistakes and learn to grow and learn to win, to where you actually are battling for anything other than an 8 seed. And so coming into the season, it's hard for Jackets fans because it feels like we're right there. But until you let these young players really get the experience, it's going to be hard for us to be battling for anything other than the 8.
Yeah, we've been in this cycle. And if you believe that these young guys are as talented as everybody says they are, then let them figure it out. And let's keep that core together and then inevitably 2-3 years from now be a team that can go win the division and be contenders in the East. That's when you set it off. That's when it becomes that's when it transcends hockey fan. That's when you grab the city by the throat. When you do that, that's the task that I would love to see them track down. I know they want it too. It's not for lack of effort. All right. Second hour of the program coming up next, Jake Trotter at 10:30, Biff Poggi. I can't believe the head coach at Michigan is Biff Poggi. Good Lord. We'll have some of his comments about what's going on up there. Second hour coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvis are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. A metal super.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Maddie Ice here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
2003 Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets snapped a 5-game losing streak last night, beating the Anaheim Ducks 4-3. Adam Fantilli sent the home crowd happy with a game winner in overtime. Zach Werenski, he played in his 600th NHL game last night. He scored 2 goals and had an assist in the win. Boone Jenner chipped in a goal and an assist as well. The Jackets back at Nationwide tomorrow night, hosting the Minnesota Wild at 7. 4-star athlete legend Bay is going to be a Buckeye. He's been released from his scholarship agreement with Tennessee. He's expected to enroll at Ohio State in January after he turns 18. Brian Hartline has hired former Buckeye assistant and Coastal Carolina head coach Tim Beck as his offensive coordinator down in South Florida. And the Cleveland Cavaliers in Chicago tonight to face the Bulls at 8. This
recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a First Friday Miracle Edition. Time to get your Hey Guys questions into the fellas at 971-BFS. We can also take them in the YouTube chat, so we will track those down there. Jake Trotter coming up in about 28 minutes from now, between now and then. Time for a little higher, lower. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating and Cooling today at 614-232-2222 or visit online at thewaterworks.com.
All right, time for a little Higher Lower, fellas.
So, Bo, I figured since this is, next week we will have best of shows on Christmas Eve and Christmas. I figured this would be a good time to do a higher or lower of the best Christmas movies. And this is from IMDb, and it's their list of the 100 best Christmas movies of all time. Now, we're just going to limit this to the top 20 here. So let's start out with the top five, and then we'll have you guys discuss. Number one, they've got It's a Wonderful Life. Number two, Home Alone. Number three, Die Hard. So IMDb says Die Hard is a Christmas movie. A Christmas Carol at number four, and then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at number five.
Okay. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie in any way, shape, or form. I'm pretty sure about this because this is something that comes up every couple of years, but I'm pretty sure I looked this up. Die Hard was released in the summer. Okay. So it takes place during Christmas. It's Christmas adjacent, but it is not a Christmas movie. I'm sorry. I can't. And so that's definitely not. I would also say, like, I'm trying to think of other ones that are, I mean, by the way, Die Hard's the greatest action movie ever, probably, right? So, I mean, I adore it. It was the first action movie that I saw with, that I made at NBC watch with me. And his response afterwards was, "Dad, that was awesome." Yeah, you bet it is. Another one that I would put on that would be like Trading Places. Trading Places is not a Christmas movie in any way, shape, or form. I have no idea if it's on this list, but if Die Hard's on this list, that tells me that Trading Places might be on this list. Trading Places is not a Christmas movie either in any way. It takes place during Christmas. So Die Hard's got to get out of there. You said It's a Wonderful Life is one?
Yep, number one on their list.
I got news for you. I think it sucks. I think it sucks. I don't like it at all. I think Home Alone goes up to number one. That's my first adjustment. Home Alone goes up to number one. The beautiful thing about Home Alone is you can quite literally watch it with everybody. Adults think it's great. Kids think it's great. It holds up perfectly. I think it's that should go to number one. Get It's a Wonderful Life out of there. I mean, you can't tell me you actually like It's a Wonderful Life.
It feels like it's one of those that people just place there, but no one actually believes it should be there. Like, it feels like it has to be in the top 10 somewhere. But for me, I have nothing towards it that makes me want to watch it ever on Christmas.
Is it the nostalgia and the fact that it's on NBC every year and it used to be everybody watched it that makes people think?
I think probably. But it's the same way I feel about The Wizard of Oz. I think The Wizard of Oz sucks. Like, it was something you had to do as a kid because it was on, and you would sit there and just be like, oh my God, is this over yet? And on television, it would last like 3 hours because the runtime of it's pretty long, I think.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Okay, so that would mean like if it was on broadcast or cable, that's a 3 hour block of your life that you can't get back, man. Get that out. Where's Elf? Get Elf in there. So I have two different categories of Christmas movies. There are kids' Christmas movies. So this would be like The Grinch, the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Home Alone would probably be in like the kid one. Elf would be in the kid one. And then there's adult Christmas movies, which are like Four Christmases, Office Christmas Party, Love Actually, like those. So like to me, there's two very separate silos that Christmas movies go into. And in none of those silos is It's a Wonderful Life for me.
Yeah, and I feel like just this top five in general, I mean, I like Home Alone being in the top five. I think A Christmas Carol is solid. I probably wouldn't have it in my top five. Rudolph is there because, yet again, it has to be there. But there are a couple other ones. The Grinch I would probably have in my top five. Elf is getting moved up in this list. So I feel like this top five here is a little bit, is not quite how I'd have it.
A Christmas Carol, I don't know if I've ever seen A Christmas Carol, the 1951. I've seen Scrooge.
Yeah, the newer one is the one that I'm assuming we're talking about, right?
No, this is the 1951 version.
No, get it out.
I've seen that. Get it gone. The Bill Murray one's pretty good. I think that's called Scrooged, right?
I believe that it is.
I haven't seen that in a long time either, though. Where's Vacation?
Listen, if I have Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 at the top, I'm okay with that because I love them both. I always will. Let's move on. So number 6, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, there it is.
Number 7, Elf. Okay, number 8, A Christmas Story. Number 9, Miracle on 34th Street. And at number 10, Gremlins.
Christmas adjacent. There's another one.
That is not Christmas.
I kind of was like, wait a second, what?
Gremlins is not a Christmas movie in any way. I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street, and I don't think I'm missing anything. This always blows the mind of Ohioans, because I think folks who grew up here, A Christmas Story with Ralphie and the Red Rider Range and all of that stuff, I think the Bumpuses, all that stuff, I think for you guys, it's a part of growing up in Ohio because it was filmed in Cleveland. I had not seen A Christmas Story until like 4 years ago. Because as a kid, we didn't have cable, and apparently A Christmas Story was on a loop on either TNT or TBS or one of those, like, the whole Christmas season. So I hadn't seen it. I was aware of, you know, the gift stuff, and I'd seen some of the scenes, whether it was the dogs or the duck at the end and all of that stuff. But I hadn't seen A Christmas Story until, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
Was it
something you guys had to grow, like you grew up watching A Christmas Story?
I feel like that's one of those that's just on in the background. Like I can remember multiple Christmases where that's just what was on TV that we had like muted while Christmas was going on. But that's not one that I tune into every year whatsoever. And I feel like Miracle on 34th Street, another one that just has to be in the top 10, but no one is turning that on for Christmas.
How about you, Bake? Were you a Christmas Story guy?
No, not really. Like, I remember Ralphie Parker, but I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched it all start to finish, like Miracle on 34th Street. When I saw Gremlins, I was like, wait a second, what? And I guess the Gremlin was his Christmas gift, but I don't remember that.
I have no point. I saw the Gremlins as a kid. I have not seen it in, I would say, very accurately, probably 35 years.
Been a long time. I mean, that came out in 84, so.
Yeah, I don't.
The last time I saw Gremlins, it was a scary movie. That's how long ago it was for me when I watched it.
Right, exactly.
Let's move on. Number 11, The Polar Express. Number 12, okay. Bad Santa. That's a decent one. Yeah. I didn't understand this one either. Edward Scissorhands at number 13. Same. Trading Places at 14. And then Scrooged with Bill Murray at 15.
Let me ask you this. Have you guys seen Trading Places?
I don't believe
I haven't seen
it
either. Nope.
You guys haven't seen Trading Places? You have a homework assignment.
Is that Eddie Murray?
It's Eddie Murphy throwing 175 miles an hour. It's Dan Aykroyd. It's Jamie Lee Curtis. Boy, is it ever. It's the Dukes. I mean, it's everything you want. I don't think it would ever get made now. But it is spectacular in every way that like early mid 80s movies would be. But it is damn funny. Not a Christmas movie in any way, shape, or form. Scrooged is pretty good. That one certainly deserves to be on the list. I don't have any problem with that. Love Actually is not on this thing.
So we are going to get to that right now. Then we've got 16, A Nightmare Before Christmas, 17, The Santa Claus, which was Tim Allen in the 90s, How the Grinch Stole Christmas at 18, Silent Night at 19, and then Bo, Love Actually comes in at number 20.
Love Actually is great. It's a little long. You could probably trim 30 minutes out of it. And if you've seen it a lot, you know exactly what you can fast forward through. I am an old animated Grinch guy. But every time I watch the Jim Carrey version, now they have a new animated one. Every time we watch the Jim Carrey version of it, I am just floored at the amount of time that he must have spent in makeup to get into that garb.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
It would be insane.
To be like 8 hours a day, right?
And I would guess it was even longer because he's probably making the makeup people laugh the whole time. So they're messing it up and having to redo it. And
what a mess. That one's really good. What is your favorite? What is your you've always been a Home Alone guy, Zay. What's your favorite?
Mine's The Grinch, the Jim Carrey one. That's always been my number one. It's something. It's one of the few movies that when it gets close to Christmas time, I want to watch. Like, I feel like if I don't watch that before Christmas, I'm doing myself a disservice because of how well Jim Carrey played that role. I think like this 5 year with Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. That's another one that's been one of my favorites. It feels like this five should have been, it could have been moved up higher into like the 6 through 10 range, and I would have been a lot happier.
I don't have any idea what The Nightmare Before Christmas is. I haven't seen Silent Night either, the one that you have at 19. So, yeah, I think there's two silos. There's like the kids ones, and then there's like the adult ones. One thing that's happened this year for me, and it could just be because it's on all the time, but Four Christmases is on one of the, it's either Showtime or HBO. It's on like on a loop. And anytime a sporting event goes to a halftime or a break, I will flip over to it and watch for 10 minutes. It's Love Actually was always the one that I enjoyed watching with my wife the most, but I think Four Christmases maybe is past it. That one delivers in every single way.
I'm looking for that on this list, and I'm down in the 70s, and I have not seen it yet. The one that just missed the top 20 there. And maybe it's just nostalgia because it was always on every mm-hmm. Christmas. But the Charlie Brown Christmas, I feel like, should have been a little higher there.
Those were specialer when we were kids, Bake, because you could only watch them once. They were only on that specific day, and you had to watch it, and then you didn't watch it again for another year. In an on-demand society that we live in now, they're on a loop, and you can watch it all mm-hmm. whenever you want. And that's the thing that kind of sucks about that.
By the way, Bo, my dad is not happy with your It's a Wonderful Life slander.
He likes
He's not happy at all about that.
I think it's sorry, Papa Bake. I think it sucks. I really had to watch it a lot as a kid, and it was like, God, is this over yet? Is this over yet? I'm sure Michigan folks are thinking, is this over yet? And the answer to that is, oh, no, it's just beginning. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
Do you suffer every...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we have never once seen a bill. It gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son, and we're going to beat cancer together. Now, he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Hello, it's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
More sunshine building in throughout the day, and it'll be warmer and breezy with highs getting into the low 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy with our overnight lows in the 20s, and then for Thursday, we will see daytime highs getting into the low 50s with breezy winds. Best chances of rain will be later in the day and going into the overnight hours. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are sponsored proudly by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Biff Poggi is the head coach at the University of Michigan in the moment. Of course, he's the interim head coach, but he's obviously dealing with a mess up there. He was available earlier this week and was asked how the Michigan players are hanging together through all of this. Here was his answer.
It has been a tumultuous time. Okay. And a lot of, you know, anger, and then, you know, first disbelief, then anger, then really what we're in right now is the phase of the kids, quite frankly, feel very betrayed, and we're trying to work through that.
The betrayal, that's an interesting word to use there. He then was asked to describe Michigan's current situation. Here was his answer to that.
Unique and complex, obviously. Multiple levels of, complexity that our young people are dealing with, our university is dealing with, our athletic director Ward Manuel is dealing with, and then, you know, our team, our coaches and our kids. So it's been, I don't know that you can prepare for something like this. It's been, I'll just say, complicated.
Yeah, you don't say. He was also asked on playing in the Citrus Bowl, and I definitely want to hear what he has to say about that.
The way we feel about it at the University of Michigan is, it's an honor to be here at this game. The 80th playing of this long-standing game. And to have an opponent like Texas, it's an honor, really. And that's a team that we all thought would be in the CFP, and quite frankly, I was praying and hoping they would be in the CFP, so we wouldn't have to have this matchup here. But they're excited. It's an honor.
I mean, boy, did he sound defeated
to not have to play Texas?
Wow, just praying and hoping.
What an odd thing to say. I know what he was going for there was that it's a really quality opponent. I'm sure that what he was going for there, but those are probably not the words you choose to use on that one. I will give them a modicum of credit for this. I'm surprised that they have a roster that can play in the game. I really am. I cannot believe that people didn't bail. I cannot believe that kids, now they can't get in the portal yet because it doesn't open until January, but you can give your intent to go into the portal. And the idea that they have a team that's together enough to actually play in the Citrus Bowl is a credit to whatever is left up there. Whatever ruins remain, those ruins are strong enough that they can field a team for this game. Because I don't know many that could, honestly. So they probably deserve, I hate giving them any, but they probably deserve a little bit of credit. And Biff Poggi probably deserves some credit for keeping who's left there locked in enough to where they can field a team to play Texas on, what is that, January 1st, that bowl game?
I thought is it New Year's Eve they're playing?
Oh, it's New Year's Eve. You're right, bud. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. That's a 3:00 kick on New Year's Eve. So that'll be your aperitif for Ohio State and either Texas A&M and Miami, which will be playing, of course, that night, 7:30 kick for that one. But I do think they deserve a little bit of credit for that. From a timeline standpoint at the University of Michigan, there will be a new coach. Now, the names that are bandied about most still remain DeBoer and Dillingham. And Dillingham had a very interesting press availability out at Arizona State. As he's preparing, he's got a Sun Bowl game in El Paso against Duke. Good Lord. And so he was asked about his interest in the Michigan job and didn't exactly say, I'm not going. So it's possible that these coaches are playing, if there is interest in Michigan, against their current employees to get bigger contracts. DeBoer, we've had people at Alabama come out against DeBoer, but that hasn't been exactly extinguished yet. And I do wonder if Alabama were to lose to Oklahoma on Friday, is that something that he would consider even more? I mean, there has to be some smoke to DeBoer because, Bake, you remember we had Rich Scarcella on? Like, he really believed that if DeBoer would have lost the Iron Bowl, that there was a real chance he was going to Happy Valley. So there is enough smoke around DeBoer that I think it has to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it almost seems like either people are just expecting Alabama to get rid of him because he's not Nick Saban yet in year number two, or he's really not happy with how he's been treated there and the expectations, which would be kind of weird because you kind of expect that when you're following a legend. But there's something there with Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. Somebody doesn't like the other or isn't totally happy with the other. Mm-hmm. And when there's this much smoke, when Penn State started talking about it, you heard those rumors. It was like, what? There's no way. Like, what are his ties to Penn State in the Midwest? Because there really aren't any. And his, no. Then we found out his wife is from Ypsilanti, I believe, right. Michigan. Yeah. Be very interesting, and that'd be a big time newsmaker in the sport if the Alabama head coach left Alabama to go coach at Michigan.
Well, I mean that's the Lincoln Riley Oklahoma USC thing.
Yeah,
is what that is. And I think he's the best. I think he's great. I know, you know, you talk to, like, when we have Feinbaum, I'm going to be on tomorrow, like, people down there are like, oh, they want to run Kalen DeBoer because he's not Saban. Well, dude, nobody's Nick Saban. That's over. That'll never happen again. That stretch that they had at Alabama. And Alabama isn't liquid. They're not A&M. They don't have the oil money. Like, it's a totally different job than what it was when Saban was there. And to try to hold somebody to a Saban standard is downright delusional. So if he's like, man, this ain't worth it. They were on the cusp of the playoff last year after Saban left in January. And I mean, we have his safety. We have his quarterback. We had his center. His receiver went to Texas. Like, what would Alabama look like right now if Julian Sain was the quarterback and Caleb Downs was still the safety? I mean, what would that look like? But because of what happened, so he's been having to play catch up on that operation from Jump Street.
I just, if Kalen DeBoer goes there, I believe that's something that should be a little scary for Ohio State fans. Because as you said, Bo, I think he's a really good coach. He will have had his, he went to Washington. He was successful there. He's had his stint at a really big program where the scrutiny would be turned up. And there's probably not a lot of pressure in Michigan right now, to be honest. Like, they just want somebody to get him back on the straight and narrow. I don't know how quickly there's, if he goes 9-3 next year in Michigan, I don't know if there's going to be any uproar for his job.
No, and quite honestly, guys, who's making the hire? Because they had that investigation now into the athletic department that Ward Manuel's been running all these years so crookedly. Like, they don't have a president. They don't have a football coach. They might not have an athletic director. Like, is John U. Bacon running the show?
They'd be
in worse hands.
When I saw that over the weekend, that Michigan is doing an investigation into their athletic program now, a little late, don't you think, guys? Where were you 3 years ago when Matt Weiss was happening?
Dude, they were still with Danny Ocean. They were getting away with it. They got away with all of it. And then Tony Benedict knocked on the door and said, I need this back plus interest. And now they're in that stage. Got to go rob the Louvre.
You've got to think, like, all these contract extensions for coaches, the PR team at Michigan, they should be demanding another contract extension at this point because it feels like they're constantly in an uphill battle. And right now, too, you think about DeBoer having to leave Alabama and the situation that he's in right now, but just hearing Biff Poggi talk about the players, now everyone's feeling betrayed. Like, who wants to leave an Alabama team that's in the college football playoff and is seemingly, I mean, you're hopefully bringing your players back and you're not having a bunch of turnover in the transfer portal right now, and you're going somewhere where you essentially have no idea what roster you're taking over and what the coaching staff is going to look like. Everything is just going to be so changed in the next month's time. I feel like you're walking into a blind job and leaving a job that is pretty, I mean, a lot of people would have wanted this job 2 years ago.
And by the way, to your point, Bama had a great recruiting class. So you'd be leaving that too. And you have relationships with, I don't know. I'm very curious to see what happens with here. And remember, whenever they make that hire, the next 15 days, that whole roster can transfer, including kids who they signed on National Signing Day. So all of that happens once they make that new hire. Jake Trotter coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB?
Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hi, this is Martina McBride. With online news, social media, and texting available 24/7, the world seems to be spinning faster and faster every day. And it can be overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to unplug and take a break from our electronic devices. It can help reduce stress and allow us to reflect on the things that are really important in our lives.
This message brought to you courtesy of the United States Air Force.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival.
That man is Jake Trotter.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Oh, hey, buddy. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
You know what movie I really like? I watched it with one of my sons the other day. Is Muppet's Christmas Carol.
So good.
Massively underrated.
So good.
You know, living in Cleveland now, like I got to say, you know, Christmas Story resonates.
Did you watch it as a kid, or is that was that a staple for you as a kid? Because it wasn't for me, and then I became aware of it probably only 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I was aware of it when I was younger, sure. But it wasn't a staple for us. I also like the classics, like the Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
yes.
the Miser Brothers Christmas. The Happy New Year. I can't remember what the name of the movie is, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
They go look for the New Year baby. So I like all those too.
Yeah, those are, the classics always win, buddy. Absolutely. We have two. I watch. There's ones we watch with the kids. There's some adult ones that we like. So we'll kind of vacillate back and forth between both of those. We have college football playoff this weekend. Does it feel like it to you?
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? That it's
so the reason I ask is, a year ago at this time, like, we're in this silo of Tennessee's coming to town. What Buckeye team are we going to see? And now we sit here in Central Ohio and we go, well, all right, we're waiting for another couple weeks before we play a game. And I got to tell you, buddy, now you're on the national scene, so you're paying attention to all of it. It feels like it's happening a little bit in a closet juxtaposed to the rest of the sports news that's out there nationally.
Well, and there's been a lot of news lately.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ohio State fans are going to kind of know what it's like to be Oregon last year. And we're going to get in a situation, too, where a team like has a bye and didn't even play in the conference championship game. You have like a month basically between playing, you know, at least Ohio State's coming off a game after the regular season. So it's going to feel like that long. But, yeah, like I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you know, you got Miami, Texas A&M to watch. So I think it's still, you know, pretty exciting. I think Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, Indiana's going to get the winner of that game. You know, that's got to have some intrigue if you're an Ohio State fan. So yeah, I haven't like gotten into, it doesn't feel like a college football Saturday coming up.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking me, but I will be fired up to watch Oklahoma, Alabama Friday night, and then I'll just be in my office working, watching three straight college football games. And there's two NFL games too Saturday, right? I mean, it's going to be
it's going to be a
long day of football in a good way. But you know, you're going to have to pick your battles if you're married too. I'm trying to figure out which games to watch because that's too much football. Saturday before Christmas, no less.
Yeah, no kidding. The NFL games on Saturday, to your point, are Eagles and Commies, which probably felt like it was going to be a big-time game when they scheduled it, but now isn't. The night game in the NFL is pretty good. It's Packers-Bears, and that one has some major stakes in that one. So the NFL, you know, they always stick it to college football on this weekend and try to go heavy with their matchups. This time, with the injury to Jaden Daniels, some of that has taken off. You mentioned the news in the sport. Obviously, just crazy last week at the University of Michigan in all of it. We just were talking about that. I cannot believe that they can field a team, and I had to give some credit to the kids who remain there that they are together enough to play in a Citrus Bowl against Texas, because with everything that is swirling, it would be so easy to just say, yeah, we're good. We'll see in 2026, but they aren't. What do you make of what happened there? What do you make of, in terms of what comes next?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't imagine there would be something crazier and harder to believe than, you know, the Connor Stallion sign stealing. That was obviously surreal, the way that they came to light and what a, you know, how that hung over the program and, you know, the rivalries within that program. And this was, I mean, this to me, this completely outdid that one in terms of just shock. You know, you probably, like, there were rumors that something maybe was going on. I don't think anybody was surprised by that necessarily, but just the aftermath of Sharon getting fired, you know, that's, I don't know that we've seen anything even remotely like that in college football, where, you know, your team's getting ready to play a bowl game and your head coach is in jail. Like, it's just unprecedented. And I mean, it's hard to imagine what, you know, some of those assistant coaches are thinking and feeling, and obviously the players, and, you know, the administration is in a tough spot, because, and, you know, they're launching, you know, investigations, third party investigations into how like this is, cause it's not just sign stealing. It's not just this with Sharon. I mean, there've been some other things up there too, and they better get this hire right. Because if they don't, you could see a little bit of a mass exodus. And, you know, I know, you know, I checked in with, you know, Bryce Underwood's camp just to see, you know, I think they're in wait and see mode. I think they want to stay at Michigan, but again, it's not a sure thing if you don't get the hire right. So it's a really precarious situation up there. And I think they got to, you know, and I think they're doing this. They got to get away from the Harbaugh era and just start anew in a different direction, because it's just been, you know, completely marred by these scandals.
Right. And you said the administration, like, they don't even have one. They don't even have a president. No. Like, it's the board who's going to be hiring all of this. It seems like Ward Manuel, they're just looking for probable cause with him. I don't understand how they don't have it already. But he'll probably be gone too. So it's going to be an entirely new power structure. Most powerful people at a university are the president, the athletic director, and the head football coach at places like this, right? And they're going to be starting anew with all of that. And to your point, in terms of, even if they hit a home run, I think you could argue that when Alabama replaced Saban, I don't know if you could have done better than DeBoer. Maybe Lanning would have been slightly more, but it's close. And they still had exodus. We have their quarterback. We got their safety. We had their center. Texas had one of their wide receivers. Like, you still get pillaged.
You still get pillaged. I think that their home run hire right now would be Kenny Dillingham. I think that would be the best possible hire that they could get. I just, you know, with Kalen, I would be surprised if that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some NFL coaches with Michigan ties out there, the Green Bay OC. I mean, I think the Green Bay DC would be a great hire too, based on what he's done up there. You know, they have some options, but it's not like it was 3 weeks ago where you could have gone out and gotten Matt Campbell or, you know, a lot of these, you know, top candidates on everyone's list. They don't really exist now. And I think if you're like Kalen, you're looking at that Michigan situation, and I think I'm pretty good at Bama, right? Unless you just feel like you're going to get fired next year. I mean, if they beat OU, and it's hard to beat, you know, it's hard to beat, a good team twice in one season. You know, OU beat Alabama on the road and beat them last year too. You know, if Alabama wins that game, there's just no scenario in which Kalen leaves Alabama to go to Michigan. And then you're just down to, like, again, Dillingham. And then I don't know. I don't know even who's out there that would make really much sense to them. So they're in a tough situation.
Yeah. I think if it's not that, then it goes, you might need to do something like in the interim. Like, is it something where I mean, it might be totally out of the box, you know, like a former Michigan player who's who just needs to, you know, who's not associated with Harbaugh, who just comes in and cleans house and is almost like a culture person. Yeah, it's anyone's guess.
Baylor
at that point.
Did that. Baylor did that, you know, after the Art Briles scandal. Right. They brought in, you know, the guy from Wake Forest for a year, and then I think that's when they hired Matt Rhule right after
Matt Rhule, yes.
So like, we've seen that before, but that is a pre-transfer portal NIL mm-hmm. move. It's just different now, and, you know, it looked like Penn State might be heading that direction with Terry Smith for a little bit
yep.
before they got Matt Campbell, but, you know, after they got turned down by Sitake especially. But that's not where you want to go. You got to be able to sell something in the future, and if you're just trying to placehold, you're going to get passed by.
You are an Oklahoman, but yes. One thing that we know is your love, and I'm pretty sure that you even have the cheer outfit at Penn State. What did you make of Matt Campbell being the hire?
I couldn't figure out why that wasn't done a month ago.
Right.
I still don't really understand. I mean, there are some theories as to why yeah. it took so long for them to come around to Matt Campbell. I mean, I guess they'll say now that Sitake was their top choice, which I could not figure that out. I mean, Sitake's mm-hmm. a terrific coach. The guy has never coached outside the state of Utah, mm-hmm. sans a stint at Oregon State. That just would have been a really strange fit at Penn State, just given his experience. Matt Campbell is from the state of Ohio. You know, he is, you know, Midwest roots. He's mm-hmm. done a terrific job at Iowa State. You know, they're to the point now where if they go like 8-4, it's kind of a bad year at Iowa State. Like that is how much he has won there. And the fact that they had not reached out until like the week of his hiring, I just thought was bizarre. But I think that was the best possible hire they could have made, honestly.
Yeah.
I think they accidentally ended up with the perfect hire for them.
Yeah, it seems like it. And had they done it 2 weeks previously, they actually could have had a recruiting class as opposed to what ended up happening.
So, yeah, right.
Sometimes you fall
into
it. Yeah, it's going to be critical.
They better hit the portal. It'll be interesting. You know, Campbell had a pretty good quarterback at Iowa State in Beck. Mm-hmm. You know, where's Dylan Riola going, by the way? That's another.
Who wants Nebraska, him?
Man.
Who Nebraska. Wants him, brother? I mean, that's the other part
he
of it.
Supposed like, to be...
I know he was here.
That he was committed to Ohio State briefly in the beginning. Yeah.
It wasn't lost on me when he said, "I want to go someplace where I'm developed." And I'm thinking, well, if you just would have stayed where you were committed originally, you would have been. You know, sometimes these kids want instant gratification. All right, buddy. Good stuff as always. We'll do it again soon.
Okay. See you both. Bye.
There he goes. The great Jake Trotter, ESPN, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Can you begin to describe the continued lift that you get off the bench, especially from Amari Bunn?
Yeah, he's really continuing to raise his level and the consistency of his level. I think it's been really impressive. But he's earned it. Because of the way he approaches every single day, he steps into our building. He wants to get better. He works really hard, and all he cares about is winning. So if he keeps that up, he's going to continue to get better and better.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center.
The team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Jake, I'm talking about Amari Bynum and what he gives you off the bench. It has to be great as a coach to see players embrace a bench role.
Yeah, no question. I think everybody's, for the most part, we've got a group that really embraces their roles. And some guys are still trying to settle in as to what that means for this team. But, you know, I like where our guys are at mentally in that regard. Now we got to, within those roles, we got to be a little more aggressive at times. We got to, you know, kind of seize the moment a little better at times for some guys individually. But, you know, we're getting more and more clarity as these games play out for guys, what they need to do for us to be successful.
That is a key in that guys mentally staying in the game even when they're not in the game?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But we got a mature group. So that's an expectation, really, that, you know, you're locked in, you're dialed in, you're ready in case your number's called or when your number's called to go in and play at a high level.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 RAV4 or RAV4 hybrid. Or lease a new gas-powered RAV4 LE for $279 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a first Friday. Hit it, guys.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So we've got some breaking news in the NFL. This came down just about the time we started our Jake Trotter interview. This from Adam Schefter. A major move in Miami. The Dolphins are benching quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and turning to rookie Quinn Ewers as their new starting quarterback. Ewers was a seventh-round pick in this year's draft. Some numbers here on Tua. He already had $54 million guaranteed for next season. On March 15th, $3 million of his 2027 salary becomes guaranteed. If they cut him now, that would leave $99 million in dead money. Post June 1st, that cut would equal $67.4 million dead money in 2026, $31.8 million dead money in 2027. And oh yeah, the Dolphins have cut defensive end Matthew Judon today as well. Thing or not a thing?
A lot of layers to that. So the Judon one is probably a favor to get him on a contender, is the way I would read that. We saw that. Was it Alan Lazard who did that earlier in the week? The Jets
with
did
the
that.
Jets, yeah.
Yeah, so you, that's probably a favor to get Judon on a contender. So I'm sure he'll surface. Wouldn't surprise me if it was in New England or perhaps Baltimore if they could track it down. So that's what I think that's about. The Tua part of it is fascinating. They gave him that money. They gave him that contract, and he hasn't quite lived up to it. I did think he was better in the last bit of the game against Pittsburgh. It was pretty dreadful in the beginning. They play the Bengals this week.
Correct.
So that is two former Buckeye quarterbacks. Quinn Ewers and Joe Burrow.
That didn't finish.
That didn't finish. Both transferred out. Yeah, I'm interested to see what it looks like with Quinn in there. I mean, he was, remember, when he signed here, he was the perfect quarterback prospect. Had a lot of success at Texas. And I'm sure as Arch Manning struggled for the majority of this season, he looked back and goes, you sure you guys wanted to run me out as bad as you all wanted to? I'm interested to see what he does and how he plays in it. But for the Dolphins, it's a massive franchise-altering decision because as Bake went through all of the details on that contract with Tua, that's going to be tough to navigate.
Yeah, it feels like they're about ready for a reboot. I mean, this is his sixth season, and in this season, he has played more games than all but one year. And he's only played 14 games this year so far. He had one season where he finished all the way through, 17. The rest of them, he was in between 10 and 11 games every year. So the health issues constantly been something for him. And they've won four of their last five. And so that tells me that they've been waiting to do this. And it just felt like this past weekend's loss to the Steelers was the moment where they were like, yeah, let's go ahead and get things moving on. Start thinking about next year and getting a plan together. See if Quinn has anything. They skipped right over Zach Wilson, which I didn't need to see anymore of, but they went straight to Quinn and just to see if he has anything, and then they started making plans for next year.
So Tua theoretically would be available. That contract's going to make him untradeable. Kyler Murray's going to be available. Curious what all of that looks like. These are former first round picks, guys. I mean Murray was number one overall, and Tua was what, six, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think he was sixth right after Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Bengals part of this, Bo. Mm-hmm. This will be the 23rd time a quarterback has made his NFL debut against the Bengals. Those quarterbacks are 14-8 in those games against the Bengals. So we know there's some more quarterback news. On his podcast yesterday, ESPN insider Adam Schefter may have put more pressure on Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about his path in the postseason.
Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be in the postseason this year. His nemesis is gone. We don't know whether Lamar Jackson's going to be there, but Joe Burrow's not going to be there. So when we talk about the great quarterbacks in the game, most, if not all of them, won't even be in the postseason. So now Josh Allen has a chance in the postseason to go up against Bo Nix, Drake May, CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, whoever it is. Is there any quarterback that I mentioned there in a matchup, a playoff matchup with Josh Allen, that you wouldn't give the advantage to Allen to?
Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on Tuesday, yesterday, about if not now, when Josh Allen? Like, you've never had a road this navigable. It's time for him to go. And with that will come pressure. I think he's going to be impervious to it. He's going to be, they should come out of the AFC. And the crazy thing is this is not even close to the best Buffalo team that they've had up there. You know, the roster is not what it was a couple of years ago, but they do still have him. He's playing at an MVP level. And by the way, they were down 2 touchdowns to Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. They were down 21-0 to New England. So they are not impervious at all to this, but because of those other quarterbacks being out, it's if not now, when?
Yeah, it feels like it's a huge thing, obviously, but I don't want this to be like an indictment on his run either. I mean, if they do make it to the Super Bowl, no matter if Mahomes is there or Lamar's there, whoever he's facing, like, it's hard to win in the NFL. It's hard to win in the playoffs in the NFL. And for this Buffalo team, like you said, this isn't his best team he's had in the past 4 seasons. And so for him to take them there, this should be something that the Bills fans, I mean, obviously they're going to praise it, but everyone else around the NFL shouldn't use it against him that he's not going to play against the best competition in the past 4 years.
They will, though, as you know.
They absolutely will.
In our business.
But I'm telling you now, you shouldn't.
You know what? Who won't care, though? The Buffalo fans. The Buffalo fans won't give any. But if he can't get it done this year, it is like, when is it ever going to happen?
Will you ever be able to, if not this year? Final hour of the program coming up next. We kick it off with a little, hey, guys, still time to get your questions in on the YouTube chat or on the X platform at 971 BFS. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tymus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, the fan.
Men, we...
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Gun suicide attempt? All it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
People don't realize that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
Maddie Ice here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to pcf.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to pcf.org today.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. A major move down in Miami. The Dolphins are benching quarterback Tua Tagovailoa in favor of rookie Quinn Ewers. Ewers will make his first NFL start this Sunday versus the Bengals. The Columbus Blue Jackets, their losing streak is no more. They snapped that five-gamer last night. Adam Fantilli scores the game winner in overtime to beat the Anaheim Ducks 4-3 at Nationwide Arena. Zach Werenski was playing in his 600th NHL game. He scored two goals and had an assist. Captain Boone Jenner, a goal and assist as well. The Jackets back on home ice tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild at 7. And Brian Hartline has hired former Buckeye assistant Tim Beck as his offensive coordinator. This one's sponsored by the Lion's Den, the official store for pleasure, passion, and romance. Shop discreetly in-store or online. And unlock a world of confidence and connection at Lion's Den.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed, you are. Final hour here on a First Friday. Get your officially endorsed at the end of it. Ben Baby, ESPN, coming up in 29 minutes from now on the Bengals and where they stand there. But we kick it off with a little bit of Hey Guys.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag HeyGuys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank Distillery Co. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Indeed, and the winner here gets a $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank, the free distillery tour and the tasting for up to 10. It's home of the best blended whiskey in America, 3 years running, the best vodka in the whole world. And make sure to pick up a bottle of our Whiskey War Barrel Selects that we made ourselves. The PX Double Oaked or the French Oak Cognac, both are available, should be available throughout Central Ohio. I know Adam was telling me at some point this week, and they could be already. So there you go on that. They were available just at the locations last week. Proceeds from those bottles benefit the Ronald McDonald's House, which helps provide comfort, care, and support for families with children who are sick around the world.
I thought this one was a good one, especially on the heels of the Tua news and us talking about Tua and Kyler possibly being available. This from Dustin over at the YouTube chat. Hey, guys, if Joe Burrow were to request a trade this offseason, put together your best offer of picks and players from a fair value to the Bengals.
Okay, like let's, I guess what we're going to do this exercise is we have to take out the salary cap impossibilities of this. So let's just do this. Let's just have a suspension of disbelief and let's just have it a player for player situation. Okay, so if the Bengals were to trade Joe Burrow, and if they do, the Browns should obviously sell the franchise because you're never going to ever win back the fans if you did that. What you would want on the other end coming back is a young quarterback. That's what you'd want. You'd want a young quarterback coming back and draft assets. Okay, so who has one of those that you could say to yourself, this is an apples for apples type situation, and who's maybe a little bit younger? The Houston Texans come to mind with CJ. He's a few years younger than Joe. And again, none of these are very probable. I mean, none of these are even possible. So, I mean, this is a little bit of nonsense, but we'll have some fun with it. The one that I thought of right away was Minnesota. And now all of a sudden, now I would want J.J. McCarthy, although he's played better over the last couple of weeks. Like J.J. McCarthy and picks, like multiple ones to Cincinnati, and then Burrow plays with Jefferson. Now, Ja'Marr Chase would be about as pleased with that as you could imagine. I'm guessing he'd be out the door too. But that would allow for Joe to play with Justin Jefferson in an offense, playing in a dome, in an offense that takes full advantage of the skill sets of the quarterback. I think that would be an incredible palate cleanser for him. Those are the ones that jumped out to me a little bit. It would have to be a quarterback coming back some way, like a younger quarterback.
Like Jackson Dart on the Giants, or is he still have too much potential?
Oh, they'd do it in a second. I just don't know if, I mean, can you imagine if you paratrooped Joe Burrow in on the New York Giants and he had Malik Nabers getting healthy, draft pick this year? I mean, they'd be ready to go. No, yeah, that would be another one. It's a little bit silly because it's just so impossible to even begin to think about trading him. I do think it does, and we'll ask Ben Baby about this in 26 minutes. Like, is there a sense that he might just pull a Carson Palmer and just shut it down? Just say, I can't do this anymore. I mean, there's that part of it. The other thing would be, not that necessarily the 26 draft, but the 27 draft is going to be loaded. Is that one where whoever has that number one overall pick could almost do anything they wanted from a trade perspective with it? Because you'll have all the quarterbacks. You'll have Jeremiah.
I saw one last week. It was Brock Purdy and four first-round picks, I believe, for Burrow. Who says no?
I say no. I've had enough of the 49ers. They've won enough.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I don't know that Kyle even needs that there, that they would give up that many ones. I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl with Purdy, and he's pretty good. I mean, they just gave him $400 million. So it would really be most similar to the deal that the Rams did. That's the one that you should watch. It's really the Rams-Stafford-Goff deal, where quarterback in an operation that just was never going to get over the top but was supremely talented, ultimately respected, traded to a team that has everything but feels like the quarterback's holding them up. But then that quarterback is allowed to grow in the new spot, and coupled with the draft picks that you received, you're able to build a contender right away. That's kind of the model for it. Is it Jacksonville with Lawrence? That's why I thought of CJ. Is it Denver with Bo Nix? Does Denver say, hey, we can't get over the hump with Bo Nix, so let's send Bo Nix and three picks to the Bengals? Now you put Joe Burrow on Denver.
Sure seems like Peyton's pretty happy with Bo Nix.
It might be the Denver one. That might be the closest that we can come to the Stafford-Goff deal. Where does Sean Payton believe he can win a Super Bowl with Bo Nix? They have everything else. Bo Nix has looked pretty good. And then Bo Nix can try to grow in Cincinnati. That might be the most similar to the Stafford-Goff one.
This one coming in via the Twitter machine. Hey, guys, this is Bud in Hilliard. Hey, guys, me and my wife host the in-laws for a lavish Xmas party dinner every year. Mm-hmm. We usually serve a nice prime rib, but want to switch it up this year, considering going with a beef tenderloin or rack of lamb. Am I missing another solid option instead of beef or lamb? And, of course, go Bucks.
No. I mean, what are you going to do, a turkey? We know those suck. You know what you could do before they got to be $175 a pound was crab legs. I mean, that's always undefeated, but those prices have quadrupled in the last couple of years. Crab legs are always pretty good. I used to do my Christmas dinner that I used to do for the in-laws every year. I always usually do a tenderloin, and then I do, in addition to that, I do crab legs. That's usually what I do. It's arduous. There's a lot to it, but always delivers. The problem is for Bud, is you're doing it right, brother, because you're dropping a prime rib upside their heads, and the reality is that almost everything is going to be a step backwards from a prime rib. I mean, it's the king of all meats.
That's what I was thinking.
Tenderloin's close. I mean, you don't want to get into, like, the Chateaubriand or the... What's the one that's wrapped in the bread?
The Beef Wellington. Somebody beef on Wellington. The YouTube said that.
I think Beef Wellington. I had it at a joint once because I'd never had it. This was probably a decade ago, and it's like, I'm going to try Beef Wellington. Well, then you get it, and it's just soggy bread with the tenderloin inside it. And it's I think it feels like a lot of work. And the place I went, you would think, would know how to do it. I think that they did. I just think it didn't hit for me. And I just don't know if anything's going to match the prime rib. If you go tenderloin, crab legs, or lobster tails tenderloin, that's going to get you in the vicinity, I think.
Yeah, my family did a prime rib the past, like, 2 or 3 years. And it's one of those things where now I'm looking forward to it. And so if you're going to move off of it, you better hope whatever you fill it in with is really good. Because the prime rib is so solid.
It's never not hitting. I mean, it hits every time. It's undefeated. It's the king of meats.
This one on the YouTube as well. This is from Stormin. Hey, guys. My 7-year-old is starting to figure out that...
Easy. Easy.
That somebody...
Yep. I know where you're going. Yep, got it.
But we have 3 younger kids to think about, too. Mm-hmm. How should I go about handling this?
Is this on the YouTube chat?
It is.
I'll tell him in the break.
Okay.
I'll tell him in the break. Very sensitive. Very sensitive.
We will talk to...
I got a game plan for you.
Stormin 534. That's who you want to talk to, Bo.
All right. I'll get to him in the break.
This one from Jay Walken. Hey, guys. Christmas cookie exchange is in full swing at my house. I'm surrounded by mountains of cookies. What is your favorite Christmas cookie?
I don't like sugar cookies in general. I don't like those. My mom used to make these ones that were called, that she used to make every Christmas. They were like a no-bake one. And it was she would do them with, like, it was like a chocolate with, like, oats and a little bit of maybe like a pretzel. And then we always like coconut, so she'd put coconut in it for me, but you don't have to. That's one that I remember always kind of liking and being pretty undefeated. What was it, like Mexican wedding cakes, like some of the other ones that were out there. A chocolate chip, all of those are kind of undefeated. My wife does one that's like a peanut butter cookie with like a Hershey's Kiss in the middle of it.
That's a good one.
That's always a solid one. I'm always for the basics. Do you guys have a favorite cookie?
Mine's Snickerdoodle. My girlfriend's like the one cookie she's really, really good at making. Not that all of them are good, but the Snickerdoodle's actually good. And so that one she makes every year. The other one, too, is the peanut butter with the Hershey Kiss inside. That's a staple. Some of the other ones that I found a list of here. Shortbread cookies, peanut butter blossoms, thumbprint cookies, any kind of butter cookies or Italian cookies, and then snowball cookies as well.
So
snowball. Yeah, that's I think we call those Mexican wedding cakes.
That's the powdered sugar one on the outside,
Yeah, that's what we call them.
So growing up, my great-grandma made these cookies. I don't even know like if they were a sugar cookie or if they were a shortbread or some kind. I don't even know, and I've never seen them anywhere else. But then she would put like this little silver dot on them. Okay. They were so good. I don't even know what they were, but they were awesome. In the past couple of years, I found a recipe for, like, it's basically a chocolate chip cookie, but you find some, you either use, like, crushed up candy canes or, like, some peppermint chips you can find this type of year. and you use some peppermint oil with them, they are absolutely fabulous.
Snickerdoodle's cinnamon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Snickerdoodle's pretty good, a good snickerdoodle.
They're always pretty good. Yeah, my wife does like a Christmas mix she does that's like Chex Mix and pretzels and nuts and like Cheerios, and then it's like white chocolate drizzled all over that she does this time of year. I mean, the reality is, guys, you're just going to put on some LBs, brother, and then you're going to have to try to burn those babies off in January because it's just, it's cold, nobody wants to go outside, and you're sucking down cookies and prime rib and desserts. It's just
time,
not sustainable.
Time will help you after the new year. It's, lose that weight.
That's right. It's not sustainable for your arteries, man. In any way, shape, or form.
We got to pick a winner here.
All right, let's go. I like Bud. By the way, Bud's, here's what we're going to do for you, Bud, because he was looking for the best possible way to pivot off of the prime rib for something different. I think we settled on a tenderloin crab leg combination or something like that. But here's what else we're going to give you. We're going to give you a $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank and a free distillery tour and a tasting up to 10. You take that those in-laws and you go do a distillery tour with our great friends. You take that $50 gift card to our great friends at High Bank. You pick up a bottle, and now you're cooking with gas, brother. That's our gift to you. So Merry Christmas to you on that one. Of course, when you're talking about High Bank, you're talking about the best blended whiskey in America, the best vodka in the world. Stop by High Bank's three locations, Grandview, Gahanna, Westville, to enjoy the award-winning spirits for your next happy hour. Make your reservation at highbankco.com. Drink local. Drink High Bank. A changing in the guard in the NFL and a quarterback carousel that is going to get pretty full in a hurry. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
More sunshine building in throughout the day, and it'll be warmer and breezy with highs getting into the low 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy with our overnight lows in the 20s, and then for Thursday, we will see daytime highs getting into the low 50s with breezy winds. Best chances of rain will be later in the day and going into the overnight hours. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Interesting last half of the season in the National Football League, to say the least. Some of it due to injury. Obviously, the one to Patrick Mahomes, a big part of it. Lamar Jackson suffered his injury earlier in the season. Joe Burrow suffered his as well, and the Bengals were unable to dig out of the hole that that created. We've also had at the quarterback position a situation in Arizona where Kyler Murray has essentially been shut down and will be available this offseason. They haven't said that publicly, but clearly that's where they're headed. And then today we have the news that the Miami Dolphins have benched Tua Tagovailoa for Quinn Ewers. So this quarterback carousel this offseason is starting to fill up pretty quickly. Now, I'm not going to come on here because I haven't vetted it properly to have a complete understanding of the ability for example, the Miami Dolphins to trade Tua if they try to do that this offseason, or if there is a market for him if he's going to be traded. My hunch is there would be a market for Kyler Murray. My hunch is there will be a market for sure for Mac Jones. And that hunch comes from the place of the following names: Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Daniel Jones. And what we have going on in the National Football League at the moment is a situation where quarterbacks are being given up on early in their career and then resuscitating it somewhere else. And in a couple of those instances, and in all of those instances, they were resuscitated at places with for lack of a better term, quarterback whispers. You think about Bake going to Los Angeles and his stints with the Rams and Sean McVay and how that flipped certainly his career. That was, I mean, you got to remember, for all of the Baker Brown stuff, the Carolina Panthers cut both Baker and Sam Darnold. They had them both on their roster, and they cut them both. Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones were both resuscitated by Kevin O'Connell up in Minnesota as he got them headed in the right direction. And both of those guys speak glowingly about O'Connell and his ability to get them to understand what it took to be an NFL quarterback and what was required on that side of things. And so now Tua comes into the mix on this thing. Of those guys that I mentioned, from a Browns perspective, if they were to look for a quarterback other than one at the top of the draft, Mac Jones, Kyler, or Tua, Mac would make the most sense with this regime. But the Browns are not in a position really to trade for a quarterback at all. And if you have the Browns quarterback conversation right now, here are the knowns in terms of that. It's hard to imagine a scenario where Deshaun Watson, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders aren't all on the Cleveland Browns next year. I mean, Deshaun, there's really no way for him not to be. Kevin Stefanski was asked about it today up in Berea and said he's progressing nicely and he's doing all the right things. But I mean, obviously, there's no plan to play him this year. So Deshaun is going to be on the roster. Dylan Gabriel was drafted in the third round to be the long-term backup because of where they were financially with Watson, and they needed to have someone that they could manage at a number that was one that they could handle. And then there's the Shedeur part of it. And what Shedeur Sanders has here over the last three games of the regular season is an opportunity to prove that the Browns don't have to draft a quarterback and they don't need to sign one in free agency. That's his job, is to do that. And that's the opportunity that's in front of him to be able to do just that. So I think it is a long enough runway to see if you should go into next season with him as the starter. I don't think you need to see any more games than that. If that is the case, he's going to have the full off season to be prepared as the starter. You can build offensively around him depending on, you know, who's running things and if it stays the same or if there is a change that is made. And that allows for you to fix the litany of other holes that are on that roster, especially at wide receiver and on the offensive front, of which right now they have one offensive lineman under contract for next year.
Bo, all of those guys that you mentioned, Baker and Darnold and Mac Jones and all of these guys, how could you know if Shedeur or Dylan could be your guy in the future? Quarterback is such a developmental position. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, oh, we've seen enough glimpse here or glimpse there, but some of these guys just don't get it right away and they need more time. You kind of had that reclamation project already in Kenny Pickett, and I know he got hurt, but you gave up on him because you thought you saw enough from Dylan Gabriel to go ahead and be your guy if Flacco faltered, or if you decided it was time that Gabriel was ready to go in there and Shedeur took a little bit longer time. It would be weird to see the Browns give up on one of these two guys after 1 year when it's been proven that you just don't know. Now, I know you've got to get results, and I was somebody who said that I would like Mac Jones last year rather than Kenny Pickett, but they traded for Kenny Pickett. And who knows, maybe Mac Jones, with the success that Darnold has had and Daniel Jones, maybe he's going to be a pricey ticket this offseason. Who knows what somebody would be willing to pay for them. I just think if you're Cleveland, and you can make a decision on next year with Shedeur or Dylan, mm-hmm. but man, it's awful tough to give up on these guys when you've done that already with Baker Mayfield, and maybe it would have worked, maybe it wouldn't. You did that with Kenny Pickett. You said, these guys are good enough that he can move along. I just don't know when the cycle stops.
Yeah, sure. It feels like, too, like you said, Mac might be a little higher price tag. And if you are believing in Shador and you do want to bring him back, can you afford to spend on another quarterback? Like, you already have so much tied up in Deshaun. There's so many holes in the offense. Are you giving Shador a fair chance at a season if we're spending more money on another quarterback just in case he fails? Like, you kind of have to go either all in on Shador and build around him and try to see if you can do it. Or if you're going to bring in another quarterback, then you got to bring in someone who's going to be a little more costly. And it's probably not going to be a Shador show next year.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up Kenny Pickett. I think that is a question that I would love to hear asked and answered, and it will probably come postseason for Andrew Berry. There's usually a postseason press conference for coaches and general managers and all of those things. And one thing I would like to know is why they traded Kenny Pickett, because they went through the entire offseason with Kenny Pickett as the presumptive starter, and then he got nicked in training camp. And they pivoted off of him. And I know he was brutal last week in Philly with the Raiders, but I think anybody would be brutal with that Raiders team. And I don't necessarily, I'm not up here saying that I think he would have been the savior or think he would have been anything, but that was the plan. The plan was for Kenny to be the starting quarterback and then draft a rookie to be a developmental guy and then Joe Flacco to back up. Well, what? Why would an injury in camp cause you to flip all of that in real time and flip to Flacco and then the two rookies? I mean, that to me, I'm curious. I'd be very curious to know, like, what caused that to happen? Because there was a plan in place kind of for all of those things, and they talked about it a lot. And Kenny was very clearly the presumptive starter there. I know that they had an open competition, but it was going to be Kenny Pickett before the injury happened. He was taking all the reps with the ones. He was the guy. And I remember even Flacco lamenting not getting reps in camp. I mean, he was kind of being silly about it, but he was kind of like, man, everybody wants some reps. And they were all going to Kenny. So what made them pivot off of that as quickly as they did? Was it Dillon Gabriel in the eyes of Kevin Stefanski was better sooner than he thought? And that he could then back up Joe, but then at that point, why would you trade Joe and do this thing with the two rookies? And the two rookies couldn't be more different as players. They're incredibly opposite in terms of where they are. Statistically, Dillon's better than Shador on everything, except for average yards per attempt. That's the only one where he lacks. But when you watch the games, Shador is willing to throw the ball down the field and make plays, and it appears Dillon is not. So there's that part of it too. So that's a tough one because you're basically deciding what do we want this offense to look like? And that's a tough question to try to answer, but it's one that they're going to have to. That we probably saw coming. We did not see what's coming in Cincinnati. So we'll get some perspective on that with our buddy Ben Baby in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. When we want to get smarter on the Cincinnati Bengals, we'd like talking to our good buddy Ben Baby, covers the Bengals at ESPN at an expert level. He joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Buddy, thank you so much for taking the time. You've been down there for a minute now. Have you ever heard Joe Burrow speak the way he spoke in the last week?
No, absolutely not. I think I told him point blank after the game. I said, listen, man, I think it's the most critical I've ever heard you talk after a game. And he said he didn't play well. And the thing I told players afterwards, I said, I get that Joe feels like he didn't play well. But when you look at the numbers, he's played worse in his career. Going back to his rookie year, even during their Super Bowl run, it didn't always look great. They found a way to win sometimes. So I thought that was interesting that he said that. Definitely a more reflective Burrow since he's come back from the turf toe injury. And we'll see how he attacks these final three games. You know, everything I've known about him and talking to him, aside from these press conferences over the years, is he's a guy who takes a lot of pride in the work that he puts in, and he wants to go out and show people kind of all of that stuff that he does behind the scenes and display that on game day. So I'm curious to see what this final stretch will look like.
Boy, I think we all are. And then you couple with it the comments from the midweek availability where he talked about having fun and those type of things. Obviously, losing isn't fun. He strikes me as someone, and boy, it's been a long time. I covered him in high school. So it's been a long time since this is a grown man, Joe Burrow now, Ben. But it strikes me from what I kind of know about him, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, he doesn't say anything without purpose. What did you read into those comments?
Yeah, I think that still holds true, is that he definitely is very calculated in everything that he says. And, you know, in talking to somebody, you know, over the last few days, I think they've been pretty clear that, you know, that for Joe, you know, the game means so much to him. And when it's not going well, you know, he takes that pretty hard, and he wants to go out and be great at being a quarterback. And you go look at, you know, I remember after practices, you will see him, if it doesn't go well, he will be at his locker for just 15 minutes, just sitting there thinking, nobody bothering him. And he carries that intensity with him. And you saw that last year, even when they were 4-8, you know, he attacked every day the same, which I think is what makes him such a good quarterback. And, you know, I think you have to wonder how much of this is starting to build up with the fact that the Bengals haven't been in the playoffs now 3 straight years. You know, I remember talking to him after the 2023 season when he hurt his wrist, and he said, even if I was healthy, we weren't good enough to go out and compete at the highest level. So it's been like that for 3 years now, and I wonder how much of that plays a factor in all of this.
Okay, so if you talk about missing the playoffs 3 straight years, obviously he was injured this year and that contributed to it, but last year he was sensational, and honestly, if then the postseason, he probably wins the MVP. You're going to play out this string here. How do they get that back? How do they get back to being that spot? Because they've dug quite a big hole here in terms of, I don't think that they can just run it back and just go, oh yeah, we're going to outscore people and we're right back to where we were when we got to the Super Bowl, which is now starting to get a little bit of time away.
Yeah, you know, that's long in the past at this point. And I think the fact that you see this year, the fact that Kansas City's out of it, the Bengals are out of it, you know, Baltimore's trying to get in, Buffalo's been up and down this year. It's really hard. The NFL was built for it to be very difficult to have sustained success. That being said, you have to make the right moves year in, year out to stay competitive. And quite frankly, the Bengals just haven't done enough of that. I know the draft has been criticized a ton and the players that they've taken in order to offset these big offensive contracts. But also, you go back and look at it, some of the contracts they've given to veterans haven't been good either. I mean, they're having now with Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt, which is something that they loathe in their two linebackers. You know, they've tried to replace Jesse Bates over the years. Hasn't always panned out. DJ Reader walking didn't necessarily work out well for them either. And you've got to look at it. When they went to the Super Bowl, they hit on nearly every big offseason acquisition and free agency. That was one of the main reasons why they were able to build. And the hit rate has dropped off significantly since then.
Ben, in terms of how this season went off the rails, certainly a lot of it is the Burrow injury, and that's part of it. But in terms of their plan, from 30,000 feet, it appeared their plan to me was, okay, let's win 38-35. Let's try to win 38-35, and if Trey Hendrickson can make a couple of plays, that's how we're going to win. And I thought them and the Ravens, honestly, had the most pressure on them of anybody in the AFC to finally get done. They had signed Higgins, they'd signed Chase, they extended Burrow, all of those things. How did they miscalculate this plan, aside from the Burrow injury, which you can't help?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one that, you know, we're probably not talking about enough. And the fact that they kind of miscalculated how good their defense was going to be, specifically with their veteran players, and that, you know, they thought that they were, when you look at how they constructed the roster, so regardless of what anybody says, the money always talks in the NFL and really any business. And you look at, they brought back Trey Hendrickson, that they felt good about Cam Taylor-Britt, Logan Wilson they invested in recently. They had Barrett Carter waiting in the wings, but they made Logan Wilson and Trey Hendrickson captains. And they, I think when you look at it, they were hoping that their core players on the defense would continue to play at a really strong level. And regardless of Joe got hurt or not, that did not happen this year. It reminds me a lot of when I got on the field in 2019 when they were off, and that the veterans that they played on the, that they put on the field just weren't what they were in previous years. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Sean Williams. You could go on and on. Dre Kirkpatrick, William Jackson. I mean, those guys didn't really play up to how to their potential or what they thought they could have been. which is what led them into a rebuilding phase. So I think we're seeing some of that this year.
How safe is Zach in all this?
Well, it's interesting. A report came out that Zach might have an extra year on his contract that nobody knew about.
Oh my gosh.
The Bengals, when they announced his deal, they said it is through 2026. They have never announced anything that said, hey, he might actually be under contract in 2027. I have reached out to the front office to get some clarity on this. I still have not heard, because I think it bears to have some official announcement that says, hey, listen, yes, he is under contract for another year. But regardless, the Bengals are always hesitant to let go of coaches historically when they've got years left on their deal. I'm going to be honest with you, Bo. I don't know how much of it, quite frankly, is squarely on Dak's shoulder. I think that when you look at the defensive coordinator change, that's obviously a point of contention. Was it the right move going to Al Golden? They played well in spurts, just haven't been able to put it all together. I think Duke Tobin's going to be under considerable pressure for how this roster is built. And when you look at how much control Duke has had in recent years, I think the roster construction, even if Zach was coaching at the highest level possible, was this good enough to really be a championship contender? I think that goes into consideration as well. And so, right now it doesn't get any indication that Zach is truly on the hot seat. But, I think he understands there is a lot of pressure on this team to be much better, and it just hasn't lived up to expectations this season.
Yeah, it's not like Lou Anarumo forgot how to coach defense, right? I mean, he was pretty dang good at it, and all of a sudden, they make the change. But it's also one of those things where you can't just continue to run this back. And I think I probably know the answer to this, but what is the approval rating of ownership in Cincinnati?
It's not great. However, I think that over the years, I might just be in Cincinnati for too long at this point, Bo, but I see these guys every day, so I don't know if this is now starting to weigh on me. But I think that when you look around the league, quite frankly, there are many worse ownership groups, that guys that just cannot get out of their own way. Like, last week, we heard a lot of conversation about where Joe Burrow should go, and there were a lot of franchises that were thrown out there, and I'm like, these franchises are worse. Mm-hmm. They're just not stable. They have not done a good job. I do think there are several fair criticisms. I think when you look at how this franchise operates, they do need to be more aggressive sometimes in how they manage financial risk. We've seen them over the years, do what they've needed to make some of these bigger deals happen. When you look at Joe Burrow, you look at Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, slowly but surely changes. I think the next frontier for them is making sure that they are in, that their scouting department is up to par with other places around the league, that they're spending more money in other things that aren't regulated by the salary cap. I think that's the last frontier for them. I think they deserve a lot of criticism in that regard, and there should be pressure on them to be on par with other organizations around the league. But, in talking to people, the Bengals aren't the only ones that operate in certain ways like they do. I think some other organizations, their success has maybe papered over some of those shortcomings. But, I think that there is a lot of frustration with maybe the lack of transparency from this front office, which is something that should be easily fixable.
Ben, I'll get you out of here on this one, buddy, and greatly appreciate your time. Do you think that there is a possibility that Joe Burrow plays a portion of his prime somewhere else?
A portion of his prime? That's a good question. I think, to be honest with you, Bo, I don't have a good answer for you on that. I think anything I'd give you would be conjecture. I do know that, listen, you look at every great quarterback in the history of the NFL, how many of them actually finished their career with the team that drafted him? I mean, we saw that with Tom Brady. We saw that with Joe Montana. The list goes on and on. Very rarely do you get to go out. In really any business, you get to go out on your own terms these days. And so you want to try to stretch that out for as long as possible. But, I haven't received any indication yet that Joe Burrow is unhappy. He's a guy that really Ohio means a lot to him. Like you said, you've covered him since he was in Southeast Ohio, and I think he's come out and really, embodied what it means to be from the state as somebody who's not from here. I also do know that the Bengals have given him basically everything that he could want and has asked for so far. He wanted T. Higgins back. He got it. He's been very supportive of Zach Taylor, and they continue to stick with him as well. We'll see how that goes this offseason. But I think Joe would also be very hard-pressed to find another organization that is really committed to making sure that their quarterback feels like they're part of the process as much as he is, and that they want to make sure that it's all truly built around him. So I think that will go into consideration, but definitely something we'll continue to monitor as these things go on.
And nobody monitors these things better than you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Bo. Happy as always.
All right, there he goes, Ben Baby, covering the Bengals at an expert level at ESPN on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll get you officially endorsed in three things on a first Friday. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Through trusted relations.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
As a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
T-Bone and Tybus.
Snitches might get stitches, but they do sometimes avoid federal prison.
Why 65
years?
Why do 10 when you can tell on a friend?
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
This holiday,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Bake. What do we have in the poll today, my friend?
The Daily Fan poll over at 971 The Fan on Twitter. If the Bengals and Browns were to combine rosters, how good do you think that team would be in one season? 36.5% say win the Super Bowl. 38.3% make the playoffs, 9.2% a 500 team, and 16% they'd still suck.
All right, time for your officially endorsed. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
Sponsored by Hydrate Me Med Spa. Feel better, recover faster, live optimized with Hydrate Me.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
All right, let me ask you two a question before I get to this. Have either of you ever heard of Tom and Jerry batter as a Christmas
Tom and
drink?
Jerry batter?
Yeah.
No,
the
I have not.
The answer to that would be no. Then.
Nope.
Okay, so pay attention to this and then watch Trading Places tonight. Those are your two tasks. So my mom made this in lieu of eggnog. So we were not an eggnog house. We were a Tom and Jerry house. And what it consists of is egg whites, confectioner, powdered sugar, butter, vanilla extract, nutmeg, cloves, cinnamon, a little bit of salt, cream tartar to stabilize the egg whites, and away that you go. It's a little bit arduous to make it, but I think it's superior to eggnog as a warm cocktail. So you make this batter. I would just encourage you to go Google. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'll be here for 15 minutes because there's a few processes to it. But at the end, you have this batter. You put it in a cup. It's warm, and then a spirit of your choice goes in the bottom of it. And then away you go. And you just kind of slowly pour that thing on there. You serve it with a cinnamon stick, a little bit of ground nutmeg on top. It's a delight. And I think it's superior to eggnog. It could just be nostalgia for me. I now have my wife make it every year in lieu of the eggnog, but it's pretty good and worth a Google, certainly. Tom and Jerry batter, you're officially endorsed as we get inching closer and closer to the Christmas holiday next week. Time for three things on a first Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Sciota Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesar's reward spot.
All right, number one for me, one thing that I know about jolly old Saint Nick in my relationship with him over since we've had the boys is jolly old Saint Nick needs a lot of time, a little bit of a lead time for the elves to build whatever is wished for. You need a little bit of lead time. I like to think at least a month. My wife is throwing caution to the wind on this thing and insisting that Bootsy needs to have a visit with jolly old Saint Nick this weekend and give his wishes then. It's December 17th. That's not a lot of work time. So any curveballs that may be thrown at Santa Claus this late in the show would be curveballs that likely, and just, I mean, the elves are busy. They've already worked a lot of their stuff. At that point, any curveball could be missed, and I think she's making a critical error, and I think that I'm going to be proven right on this. So, just as a word of caution, get those in early, kids. Santa Claus doesn't like, you don't like curveballs. The elves don't like curveballs. They like to know what they're making with at least a 30-day lead time.
Bo, I'm pretty sure the elves are up 24 hours a day from here on out, so I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, you're off the show tomorrow.
First thing for me, it was nice to get away and go see my buddy out in Kansas City for the weekend, and I know he wanted to like plan some fun things because I was out there, and I was like, dude, I'm totally fine just not doing anything because that's what I want to do right now. I just want to hang out with you guys and do nothing because I was, man, I don't know what it was, but maybe it was just my body trying to fight off what was ever going on with my voice and chest, but I was a little worn out after state championship weekend. But I will say, after a couple days of recharging, I was sitting there Monday. It was probably around noon. And I was like, I'm ready to get back. I'll be ready to go tomorrow. And, well, I had one more day of it, but I'm ready to go and glad to be back with you guys.
One thing for me that's changed in the past, probably week in my household, is my dog, who, as a puppy, always slept with me when we were just me and him. Now that in the past week or so, he has decided that he is going to reclaim the bed. For about 3 years of his life, he had left the bed, go sleep on the couch, and he has since returned, and now it's me and my girlfriend and him in the bed. And let me tell you, the size difference when he was a puppy versus now, when he reclaims the bed, he's a basset hound, but he's a big boy. He weighs about 66 pounds. And he's just long and thick, and he's stubborn, so you can't move him. And so now that he's climbing back into the bed, I'm boycotting it. My girlfriend is trying. She's like encouraging him into the bed.
No.
And I'm pushing him away. I'm like, you know how long it took me to get him out of the bed? And now you're bringing him back in. We've slept in the same bed for like 2 years. He has not came in once. And now this week, no. It was all one night. She decided to yell for him and say, hey, come in here. Come lay down. And since then, now he thinks it's his. It's horrible.
Of course he does. Me. What's his name?
His name's Jim.
That's a great name for a basset hound.
Yes,
that's a great job out of you. God, that's great. You got to tell Jimmy, look, bud, times have changed, man.
You're too big. He's a big boy. Like, you're an adult dog now. You're five. When you were a puppy, it was cute. It was just me and you.
You're
a big boy. Oh, it's bad.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. God bless you. Number two for me. So after NBC's game last night, we went and watched the high school team play and here in our town. And it's amazing what has changed in style, and it's especially noticeable in footwear. I was paying attention to the kids on our team. They had Anta, which I don't even know what that is. One of the kids was wearing Anta sneakers, which I guess Beamsy told me Kyrie wears. Then there were another kid had Way of Wade, which is a brand that I had no idea even existed. Apparently, Dwayne Wade has his own shoe that he's doing independently. New Balance, and I knew New Balance was becoming a thing akin with the kids. I mean, they're really smart with some of their endorsers. And then one of the kids was wearing, I guess, Joker has shoes. And I didn't know that he had his own brand. Like, when I was a kid, you either were Nike or Adidas, but most everybody was Nike. And that, I always think about what the kids are wearing, thinking, God, things have changed a ton in that time.
Second thing for me, being in Kansas City this weekend, we were watching the Chiefs games, and I was with Chiefs fans, and it was really weird to see their reaction to Patrick Mahomes going down. And they obviously weren't happy about it, but it was funny that most of them had already given up on the season before the game even started. A lot of them were like, we just want to lose this game and be eliminated so we don't have to worry about it the rest of the way. And I was thinking, one, man, what a change that is from my NFL fandom being a Cleveland Brown, how, man, fighting for a playoff in the third week of the season, that's no good. We might as well just move on to next year. And also it got me thinking, it's probably how a lot of us Buckeye fans sound to other people when we're like, ah, best coach in the world, but he can't win this game. And you know, we're all guilty of it. We've all been there. We want perfection, but man, sometimes you just got to know how good you have it.
Yeah.
Next thing for me, I don't know if you guys have spent any time in store the past week or two trying to shop for Christmas. Last night, I did almost everything online, but there's one thing I had to get in store, and it just reminded me of how much I hate. And I used to love going to the mall and going and shopping in store, but now it is so foreign and terrible. Like, I felt awkward in there, like trying to get help. It was just a bad experience overall, and I'm going to skip it the next few Christmases, I think.
We all forgot how to do that, haven't we? No time for three today. Enjoy your first Friday. Act accordingly. Rothman and Ice come. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Give the gift.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.